No, but when it comes down to comedy, as a person who being in the crowd, sometimes I don't really say stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't really, unless like, I'm a fanboy at heart.
Okay.
But like, sometimes I just kind of like, I'm out doing whatever I'm doing. I kind of peek over and see stuff. And when I see your comedy, you're a little different. Mm-hmm. You're a little different from a lot of cats out here. I mean, you can tell where you have sat down. You polish your act.
Yeah.
You hustle hard, like your life depended on, mainly because it does.
Yeah.
Sit down, I read the social media stuff. Just the, look, I'm on Facebook like billions of other people.
Yeah.
You doing something every week.
Oh, yeah, man. You got to, man.
You gotta, and I can see where that act has been polished, retooled. Sometimes jokes been taken out. Sometimes stuff been added. Some stuff just where you can see the progression of something.
Yeah.
And I would be remiss if I didn't throw a shout out to your boys, Motown Laugh Kings.
Yeah, my guys. Shout out to Ron Taylor, Jeff Horst, and Darius Bennett, man. We actually had a show last night that got canceled.
Why? What happened?
Nobody showed up. The promoter didn't promote the show like he was supposed to. He assumed that, you know, we was just gonna come and droves of bitches was gonna come or something like that. And it was like, we don't fuck around in Mount Clemens like
that.
Was
it a bringer show?
No, it wasn't a bringer show. It was just a show. It was like, we want to feature the Motown Laugh Kings. And I guess he assumed we was like the Beatles of this comedy shit. But it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. That's a different demographic. You know what I'm saying? As far as Mount Clemens, we do white and black people, but that's a different city that we haven't really touched down in yet. So. It was weird. We went out there, and it was, you know, it was a monsoon yesterday. Like, it was raining.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Fucking crazy. So, we had to fight that shit. I felt like we was in the Life of Pi.
Now, one thing about, like, shows like that, especially with the Detroit comedy scene,
mm-hmm.
A lot of your comedy shows are not in comedy clubs.
No. They'd be in places like this. I've done stuff in coffee houses, they say, you know, mm-hmm. bars, a lot of it here, because the comedy scene in Detroit, people don't realize it's kind of depleted, so we do comedy like in places you would never expect it to be in.
Yeah, a lot of the comedy here is done in places not necessarily new to comedy. They say it's very accommodating mm-hmm. to whatever type of performer.
Yeah.
There's other places. There's your magic bags. There's your stuff like that. But that's kind of like more of a hierarchy thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But a lot of times it's done in coffee shops. A lot of times it's done. I'm blanking on this place downtown.
Downtown. Let me see.
Wayne State area. The whole place looked like somebody's basement. Old Miami.
Oh yeah, Miami. A lot of spots like that, man. We do comedy wherever we can. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to make people laugh in a comedy club because it's a comedy club.
That's what you're there for.
That's the church of comedy. Yeah. But like, if you can make somebody laugh in a coffee house who's just eating a bagel and sipping on a ice mocha latte, you know what I'm saying? They like, we ain't come here for that. It's like, you funny.
Now, one of the things I get when it comes down to comedy is it's harder because of it's the gift and the curse of social media, where unless like bands, like I've talked with bands, see, a band could come out with a good song mm-hmm. and you could play that good song for the rest of your life.
Yep.
You tell a joke once.
Yeah.
It get on the internet.
Yeah.
You can never tell that joke again. To some degree, you can. It's out. We already heard it.
It's true. It's some truth to that. But if a joke is funny, people still kind of want to hear it. I don't know if maybe the comedian gets tired of it more than the audience do. But it's like, me personally, I'll throw a joke out in a minute. Like, you know, once I get it perfected, I just get tired of it. It's like a, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get a new joke and it's like a toy. It's like, okay, cool. I got these new toys to play with. So I'm really throwing that out there. And a lot of times I improvise my whole set. Like, I may get to like, I might have a whole set wrote out, and I might only get to, like, 30% of it, because 70% of it I was fucking around in the crowd, and we just created something magic right there on the spot.
And that's kind of what I was getting at earlier about, like, how you take a set and you perform it, you break it down, you chop it up, because there's a lot of guys, and I'm not shitting on anybody. I respect what y'all do,
mm-hmm.
just as a whole, but it's like you know what they're going to do. It's, okay, I'm going to mess with the fat girl on the left. I'm going to fuck a chair. I'm going to
fuck a chair.
Tell me I'm lying. Tell me I'm lying right now.
I know some chair fuckers.
There it is. There's a lot of chair fuckers out there. It's just what it is. And there's another thing about that, too, as well. It's just, it's more of a hidden thing. Some people don't want to give 100%. They come out with three or four fake names.
Uh-huh.
And quite honestly, I'm guilty of that. My first week out of that 2 months is one of the most horrible stories I ever. I'll throw it out there. Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Okay.
Eastern. I was doing a little comedy circuit out there, which is little.
Yeah.
Little. But it was three places where you could do comedy. All of them were poet. It was comedy slash something else.
Yeah.
So you just had to pray that the little Asian boy in front of you don't break out Amazing Grace, because you will never get this crowd back. You will never get them back.
That's funny. Yeah, because you had to follow some shit with somebody do this deep ass poem about 9/11, and now you got to follow it, you know what I'm saying, with some dick jokes or whatever. Whatever you got wrote down. I know.
Yeah, I had a lot of dick jokes. I think one of the things I had to follow, it was horrible, but here's how I masked it. It was this dude that I was at McKinney Union, Eastern Michigan University.
Okay.
That's how old I am. I don't even think that's around no more. That's how old I am. But McKinney Union, they will have on Wednesdays talent night.
Okay.
Talent night was
y'all
for
get
poets
to see the air quotations.
Yeah,
air
I'm sorry. I'm doing the air quote. Reason I'm saying talent night is they know who they want.
Mm-hmm.
They already got them there, but anybody else could sign the thing. They can sign the thing and get on there.
Yeah.
So it was this deep poet guy,
mm-hmm,
who always closed the portion of who they wanted, and his poetry always involved death. Always, every last time, I had somebody was dying.
Yeah.
And then he'll bring it back to some weird revelation and just totally, he's doing this for the girls. He's doing this. He'll talk about death and reforming and the girls get all wet and I got to follow that.
Exactly.
And I just stopped the crowd. Look, there's no way hell I'll beat that. So I'm going to tell some dick jokes. That's what I broke character.
Yeah.
Got booed instantly.
You got booed?
Instantly.
That's the best way to play it, though. Just to come out there and let them know, like, look, I'm not going to come out here and talk about chakras. I'm not going to talk about soul-stirring lovemaking. I'm about to come out here and tell you about my penis, a couple fart jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And they supposed to respect that.
Yeah, I dropped my entire set and just start capping on the audience.
Well, that's what you do. When all else fails, go ballistic and take everybody out with you, man. Comedic jihad.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I wish somebody would told me that because, once again, I didn't get paid for that. I wouldn't make that because, and this was my own fault.
Mm-hmm.
I told this story on the podcast before, and we don't make it about you. I'm just giving little.
Oh, we kicking it, man.
Yeah, we kicking it. That's what I'm saying. I'm just giving little pitfalls of what you have to do. I was so worried about my comedy and people being better than me for the first week. This is in the first week of my 2 month comedy career. I never went by my real name.
Really?
Most people, I know people got stage names and stuff like that, but every club, I'm big into comics. I'm a comic book nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you see the Captain America little pad right there.
Off top.
So every club I went to, I would go under a superhero's real identity.
Oh, Bruce Wayne. Coming to the stage.
It was always like a lesser known hero.
Oh, so don't lie, no.
So it was like Clinton Barton, Hawkeye. I would, yeah. Because it can look like someone's real name.
Steven
Rogers.
Funny. Beautiful Hank McCoy. It's like,
yeah, there
is
it
the Beast?
Yeah, exactly.
The Beast?
Exactly.
Now?
Believe it or not, there's a check, not cash, addressed to Anthony Stark.
Uh-huh.
I have somewhere in my mama house. There's a Tony Stark check.
Tony Stark getting all kinds of money. He working for the government making weapons.
Iron Man wasn't that big back then. Nobody knew who the fuck Tony Stark was.
He got a check.
There's a check for $6.38 not cashed in my mama's house right now.
That's funny, dude. That's funny as hell. That's funny, yeah.
You ever had to do anything like that where you kind of had to, you want to safeguard yourself And then before you let loose, I was scared. I was a scared comic.
The closest I ever did to something like that was when I moved. When I graduated high school and I realized that I wasn't going to the NFL, I was like, I'm going to do comedy, but I'm not going to do it here around a bunch of people I know. So I don't want to fail in front of people I know. I'd rather fail in front of strangers because it's like, fuck you, I don't know.
Yeah, I get that, I get that.
So I moved to Mississippi, and I was going to start doing comedy in Mississippi and all that down south area. So I had a...
Chilling circuit.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's chilling circuit everywhere, but you know, you think you think Chitterlings. But I had studied all, like, I had found all the comedy clubs in the area. I'm going to get a car, and I'm going to hit all these comedy clubs. And I ended up not doing that, and I got distracted and started fucking with some female.
Look at that, hustle spirit, that young. Vagina.
Yeah, yeah, I was trying to get it, but then... after that, it was like I moved back home, and then a friend of mine had started comedy. A guy I went to high school with named Clayton Thomas, and he told me, like, you was always the funniest dude in high school, dude, and you the reason I started doing comedy, period. He was like, and I always said I was going to get you into comedy. Mm. So, you know what I'm saying? It's a younger cat who got into it before I did. Like, he was already at least 2 years in the game, and he was like, I want you to do comedy. So he got me in there, and I did comedy. But my thing was, I didn't tell nobody I knew.
Smart.
But it was more off the basis of, I know that people, like, if you invite people to shows, they're going to laugh just because they know you. You know what I'm saying? Because you might have that inside connection. You got that safety net, like, okay, well, at least they know me, and I can say some stuff that they can relate to, and they're going to laugh, and laugh is contagious.
Got it.
I wanted to make strangers laugh, because if you can make people that don't know you laugh, you good. I didn't want that. I didn't want that cheat sheet. You know what I'm saying?
I get that. They laughing because your friends are.
So by the time my people knew, like, I was like, comedy was like, coming out the closet for me. It was like I was gay. Like, I was like, I had to come out the closet and tell people, like, they were like, so where do you be going all the time? And I was like, man, I do stand-up comedy, man.
You had to downplay it.
So then people start coming. Then the people who knew me start coming to my shows and was like, I didn't care then. I was funny by that time. So they would come and they was like, damn, you funny for real. So
honestly, you're not alone in that.
Yeah.
You're not alone in that. Like, me personally, even with this podcast, I didn't tell my mom I had this podcast until like 2 years into it.
Exactly.
Until it was unavoidable where I had to say it.
Yeah. When people walking up to you like, man, I love your podcast. Your mom like, what is that?
That's exactly what went down.